Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 15th. Joining us this morning is the bank dude from Redwood Capital, Mr. Dalby.
It is most delightful to see you, Brian.
Is it cold outside? You're wearing your turtleneck sweater.
Yes, I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
Oh, it's a sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought the zipper there was a fashion statement.
No, it's a zipper.
No? Okay.
It's a zipper. Yeah. Standard issue at our bank.
Okay. Apparently, I missed that meeting, huh?
There you go.
Yeah. Are you ready for our Ever Wonder Why?
There might be a reason, too, Brian.
Huh?
There might be a reason.
There could be, but nobody's told me.
Yeah.
Either way. So that's just keep me in the dark, right?
All right. So what are we doing today?
All right. Ever wonder why the lapels on men's coats have notches cut into them?
I have never.
As you have got two of them right there.
The answer is no. I have never wondered why.
Look to your left. Look to your right.
Yeah.
Now do you have a question about it?
No, I still don't. I don't care.
Hi, am I, how come thing. Yeah. Lapels were originally put on suits so that they could be turned up in cold weather to keep the neck warm. It became apparent, however, that a straight lapel large enough to protect the neck would be too large to lie flat against the chest when turned down. It was found that notches cut in the lapel would correct this problem and also make the collar fit more snugly around the neck. The buttonhole in the lapel was once used to button the lapel into the up position.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
I thought it was always there for flowers. But I guess the other side button isn't there anymore.
Yeah. I don't have one. There's the hole.
Yeah.
No button.
No button.
Ah. What do you know?
Fashion statements. Only here. And only very, very sporadically.
Yeah. Yes, I've always thought of you as a fashion statement.
Oh, man. I thought you've always thought of me very, very sporadically.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. So, with the spending bill that was passed last week, any initial thoughts on that one?
Well,
that can be repeated in public.
You know, it always amazes me that you put, $2 trillion out there, which is a lot of money, by the way.
I think we were all on that one.
For COVID relief, and less than 10% of it's going for COVID relief. I think that's always fascinating.
Yeah, the government bailout part.
Yeah.
It's at the city level, at the state level, was mildly disturbing,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the one party has control of everything, so they can do what they want, and here we are.
So what kind of ripples do you see hitting the shores on this one? Positive, negative? I mean, a lot of the talking heads are talking about this big stimulation that's going to hit the economy, na-na-na-na-na, and I'm thinking it's $1,400. And then the interviews and some of the news. This is going to help us feed our kids. And then, not to disparage people in that economic strata, but it's only $1,400. I mean, do you see this huge injection into the economy?
You know, we've seen there's a lot of pent-up cash in banks right now. So what we've seen is that bank accounts for most businesses and most individuals have expanded in size. So people are holding on to more cash than they have in the past. Now, are there people that need the $1,400? No doubt. There is absolutely no doubt there's a lot of people that could really use that money. But for the most part, for the working class and above, they have the money at this point in time. And so will it increase consumer spending? To some degree, but I don't see it as a big boom.
Now, with the government side, a lot of that is going towards debt payment, but also deferred payments that they haven't received, whether it's for property taxes or whatever, monies that keep those machines greased, oiled, et cetera. Do you see that that's going to have more of an economic impact than to the individuals, even though this was presented as an individual's, that it's more going to be a government's where the spending occurs?
Well, only if it results in more government spending in the local economies, because I'm thinking Humboldt County at this point, unless some of this bailout money ends up in the county coffers, and they choose to spend it in a way that benefits us. But I don't see the state spending a whole lot of money in Humboldt County. I don't see a big, giant explosion of economic activity in our community as a result.
Do you see anything in the next couple of years that could lend itself towards an economic explosion?
We have a couple of dynamics going on. Right now we have, speaking to a realtor on Tuesday, and she was saying that there's very little inventory available, and a lot of buyers are coming from the LA basin to purchase homes up here. And so the housing prices just keep going up.
Still
and
ratcheting.
Bidding wars for the purchase of homes. So
yeah, I heard tale of a $300,000 roughly that sold at $20,000 over asking, with five bids taking it up to that point.
And yeah. Some have gone up even more than that. So there's two sides to that equation. One, yes, housing prices are increasing here, and if you're a homeowner, that's a positive thing.
Yeah, you ride the wave.
At the same time, you can't really cash in because unless you're moving out of the area because you won't be able to purchase because of the inflated prices if you sit on the sidelines. The biggest issue I have is for the working class, our young people who are starting out in their careers, will they be able to afford a home? And the answer to that very quickly is becoming no.
Or what kind of home will they be able to afford?
Correct.
I mean, there may be some creativeness put into play. Yeah, I mean, certainly if the pressures are there, the minds will start to figure it out, we hope. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, with the challenges that are happening, you know, we're talking about the real estate residential side of the equation. Mm-hmm. I bumped into Dave Wells. Well, okay, we avoided contact, but almost bumped into Dave Wells and asked him, so how's the commercial side of real estate going? Because that's kind of his specialty, isn't mm-hmm. that arena? And he says it's starting to pick up. And I thought that was interesting. We didn't have an awful lot of time to elaborate on it, but I wonder what is driving that side of it, unless it's the marijuana guys. I don't know, you know, that might be a part of it, but it couldn't be for everything.
Well, there's a lot of demand for certain types of spaces. Warehouse, manufacturing, are doing very, very well. Of course, multifamily residential is doing very well. The ones that are, we're seeing struggling would be your retail storefronts and some restaurants, obviously, during the COVID, but hopefully that's going to bounce back. And so it'd be interesting to see, have that conversation with him and drill down on which sectors he's seeing more activity.
You're saying I should have spent more than a minute and a half talking to him. Yeah, I know. As soon as it was over, I thought, you goofball. I was focusing on something else at the time.
And there's lots of construction going on, and that's a really positive thing. The contractors are very, very busy.
Yeah, all the trades are going bonkers.
Very, very much so. Very excited about the project that is starting down with Dick Taylor on the waterfront.
The old co-op?
Yeah.
Sorry, some of us go back decades, right? We can talk. Who was I? I was talking to somebody about that. Oh, yesterday afternoon, spent a couple minutes with a fella, and it was, it used to be, and going back, not the last one, but the previous three.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, that only goes back into the 60s in my head, you know, not beyond that point. Greg Foster was in on Tuesday, and it said, $1.2 million was the project size? That's cool stuff. I mean, obviously, that means that there's a lot of demand and a potential for them to grow out and to do some truly amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's a really neat company. I really enjoy talking with them and watching them, and just good people.
Well, yeah, and you got to celebrate those victories because there's so many other things trying to knock you down every once in a while. Do you think the fish facility is going to have a major, significant, positive impact?
You know, I don't know enough about it to tell you that.
Nordic Farm, sorry.
Yeah. the fish farm.
Yes.
That's going to have a big impact on the economy. But then you have, that number of employees, et cetera, and all of the ancillary businesses, the trucking, because all that's going to be trucked in and out.
That's the thing I don't think a lot of folks grasp. And the same thing with the chocolate guys. You got the manufacturing or development part, but then you've got the second, third, fourth tier out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's getting lifted on this stuff.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be some significant impact. Again, you go back to the housing issue, and that is there enough housing for, these additional jobs that are created? And, is it going to put more stress on it? And the answer is yes.
Yes on both. but maybe it's not downtown Eureka or that five-minute commute. Maybe it's, McKinleyville, or maybe it's Blue Lake, or maybe it's Rio Dell or Fortuna or Hydesville. Okay. You still have that opportunity. And it's not like it's a tough commute, right? I mean, compared to most other marketplaces.
Although every once in a while I see the line of people trying to get into Eureka from McKinleyville early in the morning.
Oh, I thought you were talking about chicken products.
Yeah.
Cultural phenomenon.
I haven't been in that line, by the way.
No, I figure I couldn't, keep it in the right between the cones.
Yeah,
anyway,
I would
so.
Just drive right over the top of them. Yeah. You have a big truck, you could do that.
Most communities have seen growth in the last, when was 4th and 5th Street one way? I think it was converted in the late 60s, early 70s. I'm just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Most communities have had to build some new roads. We have not. We haven't expanded. In fact, we're trying to condense things. So the fact that, we might start to get a little bit of pressure on the infrastructure, oh my. It sounds like good stuff.
Well, there's concerns about us growing into urban blight, but I think we're ways from that. We just have regular blight.
Yeah, we got other things that would qualify that need to be addressed first. Yeah.
So, but we're seeing things getting fixed up. And like I said, the contractors are very, very busy working on, projects, whether it's home improvements or some commercial improvements. I know we've had contractors for the last couple of years working on our projects.
Overall, are you bullish about 21?
I think it's going to be, pretty steady. I'm not concerned about a huge economic downturn or anything like that, but I don't see a big boom either. I think it's going to be very, very steady. We're going to see more of the same as we did last year.
With the current administration in play and some of the tendencies, does legalization at the federal level concern you?
Actually, I think it would be a positive in a number of different ways. For the most part, the cannabis industry is treated as if it was legal, with the exception of banking and a few other things, and that would actually make it a safer industry.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. John, we've been hearing a little bit about this Bitcoin, or I guess it's virtual currency?
Cryptocurrency.
Okay, great. Kryptonite, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go. What is this thing all about, and why are people so excited about it?
Well, we're actually seeing a trend of banks starting to adopt cryptocurrency as part of their market. And first of all, I will say I am not an expert on it, but it is certainly up and coming and becoming more and more part of the mainstream as far as transactions go. And as far as...
So what is it for those of us who don't even know what it's called?
Well, of course, let's go back in history. It used to be we were on the gold standard, which meant that if you had dollars, they were backed by actual gold that that we had in reserve.
Fort Knox.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I believe it was during the Nixon administration, we went off the gold standard, which means then we became a fiat currency, which means there's actually nothing behind it. It's just, you know, the government says it's worth it.
So the promise.
Yeah. So, but we all accept it, and so it works. Well, the same thing is happening with, you know, cryptocurrencies, and, you know, we'll use Bitcoin as an example. So it's not backed by anything, but there is a limited supply of it, theoretically, and therefore you can invest it, and if other people believe it's worth money, it's worth money.
Just scarcity dynamic?
So I'd like to tell you how it sustains itself, but it does. I mean, you could have bought it for dollars for a Bitcoin, and now I believe it's worth $500.
Yeah, the value has certainly gone up.
Right. And so the reason that it's starting to catch fire is concerns over the quantitative easing that the government's doing, in which they're printing money and increasing the money supply. And it could be the federal deficit and other issues and concerns about the U.S. dollar. And so it is an alternative to that. And so we're starting to see, you know, certainly the larger banks are starting to deal in cryptocurrency, but we've even seen one of the smaller banks starting to adopt it.
So how would you do it? I mean, you know, if some, let's say, you know, here's a $100 bill, boom. Okay, it's a $100 bill. Here's $100 worth of gold. Break out your microscope. There it is. Okay. What is this purely a digital platform that this is used to transact business?
Well, that's my understanding, and it's not really used to transact business as much as an investment these days, but that is changing, where now you can actually make a deposit into a bank and theoretically write a check against it or debit funds back and forth. Now, some of the challenges for small banks, like, you know, we would not be able to do it simply because our core software provider, you know, would have to account for it. And how much risk are you willing to take with a currency you have no idea what the actual value is in it and how you're going to handle that and so forth. So there's a number.
Do you take foreign currency?
We convert it. We actually have some foreign currency that we keep on stock, but normally we order it. So no, we don't. We don't have.
So if I came in with a million lira, whatever it's valued at, who knows?
We would.
And tried to deposit it
in physical.
Physicalness.
Physical notes.
Here you go.
Yes, we would ship it out and convert it for you.
Okay. And if I wanted a million lira, we'd have to call in advance.
We would order it and bring it in.
Okay.
Maybe.
But that,
if we can get it.
But that's a tangible.
Correct.
And this other is an
intangible. It is exactly what it is. Cyber. It's crypto. It's hard to wrap your head around it.
Yeah, well, I went to the FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are the feds going to support this or back it or insure it? Or is this something that's different because it's not an American thing, it's an international thing,
yeah,
right?
It's too new to tell you the answer to that.
And yet some banks are jumping into it with both
Correct.
Feet.
Correct. But it's an ancillary, it's not their primary business, it's an ancillary business in which they're expediting transactions of cryptocurrency.
So but at some point, it's got to have value.
It has value now, theoretically.
To the institution. So how do they redeem the value of this thing? Or is that another question?
How you redeem the value, if you have Bitcoin, you have to sell it to somebody who wants Bitcoin and convert it to dollars.
So you'd have to have somebody whose job it was to do that.
Well,
to make it
worthwhile. You create an exchange, just like you do in currency right now. So if you have, Japanese yen, and you want to make a payment in dollars, you have a conversion rate, and the bank makes a little money on that conversion. And the same thing's going to happen with Bitcoin.
But the risk on dealing with yen is a whole lot less than this other thing, because I would suspect.
But who's taking the risk? The person receiving the Bitcoin.
Well, yeah. If you accept the yen and then you have to sell it on the market or to a converter, mm-hmm. it's you during that window.
Yeah, during the arbitrage. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are. That's what's happening, but it's happening slowly. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know.
So what's the benefit of this thing?
How acceptable it's going to be. Well, some people think it's safer than the U.S. dollar. It's a perception.
But the U.S. dollar isn't typically.
Well, you're asking me to defend something.
No,
I don't understand.
So. Elucidation is where I'm headed.
Yeah.
You buy currency, and there are people that invest in currencies. Okay, I get that. A 3% bump, a
right.
10% bump, yeah. This thing's is so different. Yeah. So I would presume you guys have spent a little bit of time talking about
it. It has the feel of a pyramid scheme. At the same time, it's been around a long time.
Well, so have the pyramids.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, the whole concept with this cryptocurrency is intriguing and disturbing at the same time. I suppose it's like a new recipe.
Well, the question becomes, is it going to become more acceptable than U.S. dollars at some point in time?
Or at the same level, or just accepted. Yeah, there's been a lot of insurrections in various countries where the currency has been revalued.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if this is just another monetary reference point, okay. It just is weird trying to have references for it.
And the part, you can't really look back at history because there was never anything like this before. You know, you've seen changes in currency and challenges with currencies, you know, the inflation post-World War I and inflation in Germany is probably one of the big examples. We saw negative interest rates hit Japan during the recession. We've seen a number of interesting things in currencies, but never where somebody has created an alternative currency to the U.S. dollar.
Or to all currency.
Yeah, exactly. And so will there be a shift either in our country or worldwide where, some cryptocurrency replaces, the U.S. dollar as the standard?
Kind of it feels like a euro dollar, but larger because it is everybody potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, you could see some parallel though there maybe. That's the issue, and whether it's going to happen or not, I don't know. All the economic trends and all the economic rules have been thrown out the windows. Things have changed a great deal.
A lot of, or many of our more recent exchange students had talked about the Asian countries trying to eliminate currency. No coins, no paper, everything being, I guess, this or an equivalent of this.
Cashless society.
It would be really weird.
You don't have to go to a cryptocurrency to do that.
No, but you need to have the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And if that goes haywire or gets attacked, everything's at risk at that point.
Correct.
Well, I sense we're going to be revisiting this topic in the future. Now, remember why your lapels have cuts.
There you go.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.